Hey, my name is Andrea Smith, and I'm the pastor at West United Methodist Church. We typically worship at Lake Norman High School on the weekends. However, this weekend, the high school is being used as an emergency shelter, and so the leadership team and I decided that we would offer worship in this manner. Struggled really with what to share and what to speak about because, you know, we are in the middle of a record-setting storm, and our friends and family in the eastern part of our state have already been displaced, and record numbers in New Bern have experienced just tragic loss, and we know that in just a matter of a few hours here, the storm will impact Mooresville, North Carolina, and Lake Norman. But we also felt like that we needed to share some kind of message of hope. And so as I was struggling with what to say, the story of Jesus calming the storm just kept coming up. Now, before you turn off your computer and think that's just stupid to even say that, I do want to say and to own that I think sharing a message about Jesus calms the storm would be one of the most disingenuous and insensitive things I could do ever if we did not acknowledge that perhaps maybe we should look at that passage in a different way other than literal. Like Jesus stands up in the boat and holds his hands out and says, "Peace, be still," and the waters, the wind, and the sea obeyed him. Because guess what? You know, right now, again, thousands of people are being displaced from their homes. You know, we have no idea how many people are going to lose everything that they own because their homes are going to be destroyed. So the last thing that anybody needs right now is to hear some kind of fluffy message from a preacher talking about how there's this Savior, this Messiah that has this power to stand up and hold his hands out and say, you know, "Peace, be still," and the winds and the sea obeyed him. Because right now, there's no magic person that is going to stand up in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean in the middle of this hurricane and hold up their hands and say peace, and the hurricane is just going to poof, magically go away. That is not going to happen. We are just at the beginning of the cusp of seeing how much a tragedy comes from the storm. And so I just felt like it'd be really stupid to stand here and preach some kind of message like that, and that it would seem pretty hollow. And so what I would like for us to do for just a few minutes is to actually look at that passage that's in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus does calm the storm, but maybe look at it in a little different way. When Hurricane Katrina came 13 years ago, I was on staff at Williamson's Chapel and had the opportunity to be the pastor that was also working with the missions team. And as Williamson's Chapel joined together to start the conversations about how could we represent Jesus Christ in our community when such a tragedy had happened, it really started a whole culture shift in this church. They became passionate about disaster response. And so over the course of several years, 3 to 4 years, over 150 different people traveled down to Mississippi and Louisiana to help people gut their homes and then begin the process of rebuilding. The thing that happened in all that was we got to see firsthand experience for many of us who have never experienced the loss of all that we own from a storm. We got to see the impact that that had on lives. Every time that we would come to the end of one of those trips and we would reflect with one another, we would all remark about how we were the ones who were ultimately changed. Maybe we'd done just a little bit of good to help somebody else out, but to stand in someone's home and carry all their possessions out, or when we went to Louisiana and on the shoreline, people's homes had, I mean, it was just the foundation, and you'd see baby dolls and stuffed animals and wedding pictures and family photo albums just lying in the middle of a field because no home stood there anymore. You want to talk about something that's leveling, that was. Storms in life suck. The storm that is happening right now for so many people, it is just one of the worst things that they will face in a really, really, really long time. Storms in life, whether it's a literal storm like the one that we are experiencing right now, or the other kind of storms, the soul gut-wrenching storms that we face, the spiritual storms that we face, they all they all suck. They bite. And there feels like there's sometimes this emptiness and this aloneness that we experience when we are in the middle of the storm. And that's what I think this passage that shares with us from the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus talks about, or we hear from the Gospel of Mark, how Jesus calms the storm. It's such a powerful story that we can look at even in a time of a literal storm, because it offers us a picture of what following Jesus and what life in a storm can look like. So I want you to hear these words from the Gospel of Mark. Late that day, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." They, the disciples, took him in the boat as he was. Other boats came along. A huge storm came up. Waves poured into the boat, threatening to sink it. And Jesus was in the stern. His head was on a pillow, and he was sleeping. They roused him, saying, "Teacher, is it nothing to you that we're going down?" "Awake now," he told the wind, "pipe down." And he said to the sea, "Quiet, settle down." The wind ran out of breath. The sea became as smooth as glass. Jesus reprimanded the disciples, "Why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith at all?" They were in absolute awe. They staggered. "Who is this anyway?" they asked. "Wind and sea at his beck and call." It's interesting, on the Sea of Galilee, when it is a beautiful day, it's only 8 miles wide and like 13 miles long. So on a beautiful day, when you're in the middle of the sea, you can see land all around. The first time that I had the opportunity to be on the Sea of Galilee, I remember thinking, well, you know, they had to be sort of chicken, because look, you can always see land. If you can swim at all, you can surmise that perhaps if something were to happen, then you'd be able to get across to the other side or get back to the land so that you could be safe. And so that was a little cocky on my part, and God does have a sense of humor. The next morning when we got up and we were back on the sea, it was not a clear day at all. It was very windy, and this sea that seemed so pristine the day before had white caps on it. I remember thinking, wow, I totally get now how they could have been afraid, especially if you were to look at a boat like they would have been in. You know, it's not one of the nice boats that we have, you know, 20 feet, 22 feet, etc. It was just a normal fishing boat. Jesus was in the boat with them, and I think it's interesting also to note that when we start reading this passage, we see that they set out to go to the other side. So that's what I want us to think about for just a few more minutes this morning as we look at the storms that we face in our own lives. Not necessarily, like I said, a literal storm, although I do think we can hold on to this passage as we ride out the real storms like hurricanes, but the literal storms like hurricanes. But then there's so many other storms that we face too. Loss of job and death of spouse, fear of declining health, caring for aging parents, children that are struggling with things that we as parents and as loved ones and caregivers can't seem to solve for them. There are storms like loneliness and depression, addiction. There's so many different storms that we all live through, and I don't know what your storm is today, but if we're honest with ourselves, at some point in our journey, whether it's right now or we just came through one, or you know what, we might be getting ready to go through one, storms are a real part of our journey. So it's interesting to note that when Jesus gets in the boat with the disciples, they set out for the other side. We live here in Lake Norman, North Carolina. It's a beautiful lake, and many of the people of West and our friends have boats and live on the lake, and one of the favorite things that people do is to go hang out in the lake or on the lake on the weekends. So it's interesting to note, when we get ready to go out on our boat, if we have the luxury and the privilege of living on the lake, we have a dock. Our boat is at the dock. We go get in our boat. We go out. We do whatever it is we want to do. We play around. And then, you know, we come right back to where we started. We come back to our boat and our safe place. Even if you don't live on the water or have a dock, you know, you have to go put your boat in the water from a public access point. And then you go take your vehicle that towed the boat to the that towed the boat to the lake, and you go park it, and then you go have fun, and you come back. You always come back to that which you know. And when Jesus has this story and this experience with the disciples, and they encounter this storm, it's really important to note that Jesus never establishes with them from the beginning that, hey, we're going to go get in the boat and we're going to hang out in the boat for a little while and then we're going to come right back to where we started. That's not a part of the story at all. From the beginning, Jesus, it tells us that we are getting ready to go to the other side. We're going to go across the water. We're going to go across the lake. And ultimately, they were going to go through the storm. Maybe when we encounter the storms in our lives, maybe we have to understand and accept that in order to get through the storm, we have to start. We have to start at whatever our safe place is, or maybe not even a safe place, but a place where we're most familiar. And then we have to journey into the unknown. We have to journey into the darkness and the high winds and the waves that are crashing and making us feel like we're getting ready to sink. You know, Jesus never turned the boat around. When they woke him up, he's like, you know, okay, peace, wind and sea, be still. He doesn't, you know, react and say, oh my gosh, you know, this is so bad. We've got to turn around and go back. So maybe that's a message that we can hold on to today when we are in the middle of the storm, or even maybe just at the beginning of the storm. We don't get to go back and cling to that which we know and that which makes us feel safe. Storms define us if we allow them to. Storms do not have to destroy us, but we make that decision. Storms can define us if we let them, if we allow them to. And the way that we do that is we realize that there is something that we can indeed hold on to. You know, when Jesus spoke, he said, peace. And we read in the scripture, you know, the winds, they ran out of breath. What a beautiful analogy. You know, it just ran out of breath. Eventually, every storm that we go through in our lives, it does run out of breath. And we're standing there on hopefully the other side, and that breath is gone, and we get to breathe in again, and we get to choose what we breathe in. Do we breathe in and do we hold on to our sadness and our grief, our pain? Do we allow that to define us? Or do we breathe in what Jesus said to the storm, which is peace? Do we breathe in this peace and know that, you know, we're not alone? That we don't have to face any storm in our life alone? Life and God ends up putting people in our midst that we can hold on to, people that love us, people that will support us if we'll be vulnerable enough to let them in. We also have, you know, words of faith and the opportunity to connect with that faith if we'll look internally and be willing to let go of our safe places. Be willing to recognize that perhaps the easiest way is not turning around and going back to the way from which we came. The way that maybe we know. Maybe the way that we hold on to that peace and breathe in that peace is by recognizing that wholeness comes on the other side. The other thing that's really interesting in this story to note is that at the beginning of the passage, we read that other boats were with them too. These other boats, they would have been in the storm. They would have experienced the very same storm that the disciples and Jesus experienced. I imagine they were afraid, right? They didn't have Jesus in their boat to say, you know, hey, are you really going to let us drown? So they were in the middle of this storm, and then all of a sudden, for no reason that they understood, the wind ran out of breath and the sea calmed down again. Even if we're not at a place, or we have loved ones or friends that are not at a place that they can claim the promises of Jesus, God's grace is extended to all. And God's grace and God's love, it carries us through the storms, even if we don't know that that's what's happening in the moment. You know, through this hurricane, there will be just a ton of stories of people that come together and unite together and love one another and help one another. That's one of the ways that we can breathe in God's peace. We want to fuss a lot about the state of humanity and how we don't care about one another. I guarantee you right now, if we look around and pay attention, we'll see that maybe humanity isn't as bad as we think it is after all. Maybe we do love one another, and maybe we do care about peace. Recently, on the July 4th holiday, actually, a family that's a big part of West and some friends of ours, they experienced a tragic house fire. They lost pretty much everything that they owned. I was in Uganda preparing to fly home when I got the message that this had happened, and I was so sad for them, and immediately, you know, I couldn't talk to them but began texting them, and I felt sort of helpless because I was on the other side of the world, and I wanted to help and offer support and love, and I learned very quickly that what they needed from me was not nearly what I thought I needed to give. When I wrote them and said, you know, I'm so sorry to hear about this. Are you okay? And they're like, oh my gosh, we are all good. I'm like, how in the world can you be all good? You just lost everything that you own. And they're like, it's just stuff. It's just stuff. We didn't lose everything that we have. We lost everything that we own. There's the difference. Now, this weekend, so many are going to feel like they've lost everything that they have. Some will lose family members. Some will lose their physical place that they identify with, and some will lose everything that they own. Hopefully, they will know that they're not alone. And hopefully you'll know that you're not alone either. Regardless of what the storm is in life that you are facing, we're never in our boat alone. And we have a God that is a God of grace, a God of love, and a God that reveals God's self to us through the person of Jesus Christ, who does have the power and the ability to calm any storm. May you have a peace-filled yet storm-filled weekend. Thanks be to God. Amen.